2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." Now I say that verse, I want to back up just a minute, because he's talking about the grace of God here. If you just back up, let's back up to the 7th and 8th verse. He says, "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in love, in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." He's talking about love here and giving. See, it's all about the motive of our heart, amen? It's not about what we get. It's about producing a harvest for our Father. We're looking for people to be born again. We're looking for lives to be changed. And when we give, it allows us to keep the building open and things like that. And we're thankful. Everybody's been faithful, and we're so grateful for that. And, you know, we're not going to say anything else except God is sufficient. Amen. And we know that grace. And because we know that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Where was Jesus rich? In heaven. He left all to come to earth. Yet for our sakes, he became poor. Where did he become poor? At the cross, didn't he? He had nothing. I know we put that little loincloth around him when he's on the cross for our own sakes, but when he was up there, I don't believe it was there. He was totally bare to nothing. He had nothing left. And I know that I think about that, I thought, wow, you know, just that would be very embarrassing, you know, but he took everything for us, even those that have been violated in the, you know, in the wrong places. Amen. The wrong ways. He became poor for us that we, through his poverty, might be rich. You know, and the things that he said first here, that we're abounding in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in love. See, these things are what really make us rich. You know, the money's just it's a small thing. That's easy for God. To make somebody rich, it's nothing. You know, and it's good. We should believe God. And we trust God. And we know that he will provide for us. That's not the issue. But because we know we're so blessed, because we know we're so rich, because we know he's a good father, we're not afraid to give. Amen? Amen. We welcome it. And we say, "Lord, we give it unto you. We're doing it to you. And we're doing our best here to be good stewards of money. We're not trying to waste it or throw it in things that don't produce something." Amen? You know, we want to be a house of prayer, number one. Amen? A house of prayer. People that love God and we're seeking him. So, if you had your giving this morning, we can't promise you that you're going to get rich because you gave something. Jesus already gave his whole life, and he made you rich. Amen. Because you are rich, we know that in whatever abundance and whatever he's given you stewardship over, we know that you'll be a good steward of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Whatever he says, that's what we do. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. And then I'm going to take this one more minute, if it's all right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the next chapter over, verse 8, 9, 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, you may abound to every good work." He's able to take that grace and abound it to each and every one of us. Amen. Normally, you know, it's in a good job. You know, he said we should work with our hands, that we would have to give, that we wouldn't steal anymore, we wouldn't be a burden to somebody else, but that we would have money and we could be a blessing. Amen. And he'll care for us. You know, I mean, we had to take all the word of God, obviously. You know, it's not just about, "Hey, oh, well, here, God will take care of me." You know, and sometimes we do come to those places. We have to make, you know, faith decisions and decisions that God's going to take care of us. And he does. But, you know, when it's God, he will provide. He'll do it. He'll bring it in without being a burden to someone else. You know, he doesn't cause us to be mooches, they say. You know, hallelujah. Or maybe you have loud faith. I know, you know, "Oh, Lord, You know, you come and kneel at the altar. Lord, you know, I need $500 today. Lord, this week, I really need it, you know. And I know you're trying to believe God, but some people get loud faced sometimes. It's okay, you know. We still love you. But we need to continue to grow, amen, and trust Him that He's a good Father. He can be trusted. See, faith is more than just knowing God's will. It's knowing God, knowing who He is, that He's faithful, that He's trustworthy, that He's good, that He's withholding nothing from me, that you're His son or daughter, a child of the living King, and He cares, already cares for us. He's ready to bless you. He's holding nothing back. Hallelujah. That's good news. Thank you, Father. Not because you gave your offering. You can go to Him and ask. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it you. If we ask what believing, we receive. Hallelujah. Believing what? That He's a giver. That He's a good Father. That He's not a withholder. Whew. Glory to God. I'm preaching good today. Hallelujah. But anyway, I wanted to preach a little bit. Just share a little over that. We're not, you know, we're not here. We're not worried about being poor. We're not worried about what God's going to do. Either He's going to do it or He's not. But we know He is. That's why I can say that. It's the same thing that Daniel said. He said, you could throw me in the fiery furnace. If our God doesn't deliver us, so be it. But He will. Amen. He had confidence in somebody. And His name is Jesus. His name is God Almighty. The God of, hallelujah. The God who is our Father. The one that fathered us. He birthed us by His very own Spirit. By His very own life. The same life. He says, Jesus, in Him was life. And that life was the light of men. John 1. Amen. In Him was that life. What kind of life? The very life of God was in Jesus, who came to live that perfect life that you and I might know Him and have that same life put on the inside of us. The same life. That means Jesus, see, when He was here, He was the only one, the only alive person to God. Everybody else was not yet alive. They had a spirit. They were alive physically, you know, and all the Jews are believing in the coming Messiah. God's desire to indwell men was set right here. He said, right here, I send my Son. Here's that life. John said, this is the life. This is the Zoe, the life of God, the very nature of God. Hallelujah. Whew. It's a life that no one else can give. That very life of God that lives on the inside of you and I, that came to earth for us, that we might receive something, and that is life, to be birthed from above. Jesus says you must be born again. You have to be born again. What does that mean? He says, well, how can I, when talking, let's go to John chapter 1 for a minute, and then we'll go to John 3. I didn't know we were going there today, but we are. Hallelujah. We'll go let Him preach today and speak and teach us today. John chapter 1. This is awesome because the very life, John said, in the beginning was the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, here's our verse 4, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. Okay, the darkness comprehended it not, or we would say the darkness could not expel it. It could not extinguish it. The darkness couldn't put that light out. How many know that darkness cannot stop the light? It doesn't matter how dark it's getting in the world. I know a lot of things are happening. But that darkness cannot extinguish the light that's in you. You have a life that moved inside. You have a light that came in. And that light cannot be extinguished by darkness. Now you can extinguish it if you get into enough darkness, you know, and you get far enough and you keep going and you keep pushing the button far, so far. You say, well, how far is it? Well, I think God knows. But we're not looking to live on the edge of God, amen? We're looking to live right in the center. How many know if you're in the middle of a cyclone or a, you know, they say the, what they call a hurricane, you know, and it's coming and you get right in the eye of it, they say that's nice and peaceful, nice and still. If we're right there in the middle of God, right where He is, in that life, all the things that be going on around us, it isn't going to affect us. We're in Him. We're in life. We're in light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, He was the only one alive at that time that had that light. But He had to come. If He didn't come, there's not going to be anybody else to walk in that light. No one else. He said, I'm the first one. Why? He was born, what? Of the virgin. Amen. He didn't have the sin nature of God in Him. If Jesus came through man, then the DNA of man, which was tainted with sin, would have been within. But He was born of God. The Bible says God prepared a body for Him. Mary had the body within her. And she says, how's this going to be to me? How can this be, Lord, that I would have a baby? I've never known a man, never touched a man. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, which in those days, I mean, that's as good as a done deal. It was a covenant. Now, Joseph, we'll talk about him someday, too, because he had to be a very righteous man. The Bible says he wanted to put her away quietly. He wasn't going to worry about it. But, I mean, think about it. You know, your girl, hey, my girl's come up pregnant. I know I haven't done anything. Hallelujah. You know, it was an embarrassment to her. She had to lay her life down. But she said, be it unto me according to your word, Father, that the life of God could move in. The Holy Spirit who overshadowed her placed Jesus within, the very seed of God, come to the inside of her that He may come to earth. And we were talking about that Wednesday night and where He humbled Himself. Remember in Philippians 2. Let's go there for a minute. Go to Philippians chapter 2. But this life, it is the light of men, or the, we could say the development of men. How many know light? You know, when you're in darkness and you get some light, things are revealed, amen? Glory to God. That light moved in, but that's a good thing. And now that we have the light, then darkness has to move out. Our nature's changed. Now we have that nature that can be taught of God. But Jesus, you know, who is that light, He humbled Himself. I know I said I was going to Philippians 2, which I will. And so that life and that light that moved in, that's what really leads us now. That's what gives us the confidence to come before the Lord. Because He made us right with God. He said we were born again in true righteousness and true holiness. Okay, it's Ephesians 4. We're born in true righteousness and true holiness. And the only reason we are is because of who He was. He was God Almighty. He was the light. He was the sin bearer. He's the one that came and paid the price. He's the one that took our place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But in Philippians 2 here, it says, let this mind, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But here we see again that Jesus humbled himself. He took on the form of a man and of a servant. His heart was to see you and I be born again, to receive the same life that was in Christ. Because the whole problem was God was dwelling, what, in the building made by man, by hands, in the tabernacle. God lived there. God would come in there. They would come, what, once a year, bring their lamb, their precious lamb, their best lamb, take him up to the priest so that he can kill the lamb and sprinkle the blood ultimately under the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, which nobody went in there except the high priest once a year. And that just covered the sin. It never took the sin away. They were still conscious of sin. It was still a consciousness that lived within. But when we receive Christ and he comes in, the consciousness of sin moves out and the freedom of who we really are moves in, of who Christ is in us. He comes and makes his home on the inside. We are actually born of the Spirit of God. We are born of our Father. The Bible says, born from above. Hallelujah. We have to have that. And that nature and that life that's within us is what begins to rule and reign and pushes all unrighteousness from the inside out. Now we're really free. See, we're free from sin. We don't have to enter in any longer to a place of sin. Somebody say, well, I just struggle so hard. Well, yes, we have a flesh body. And yes, there are things there. But our true desire from the inside out is to please our Father, is to please God Almighty. We wouldn't have that without that life. We don't have that without that nature. We don't have it without that light. And that light begins to lead us and to guide us into a place in Him where we say, yes, Father, you're my Father. I'm your son. Now I can walk with him just as Jesus said he did. You know, or Paul said here in Philippians, it says Jesus did. He became, but made himself of no reputation, took on him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Hallelujah. He had no more self-reliant power upon himself. Sometimes we got to give up our self-reliant power. See, we don't realize, I mean, our decision is to believe that. I believe, Father, that you paid the price. I believe that Jesus came. I believe that he lived the sinless life. I believe that. I confess that. I say that with my mouth. And I mean, more than just confessing it with our mouth, our life becomes a part of it. Because he actually moves in. Sin actually moves out and we are changed. From darkness to light, the Bible says. We went from a place of darkness, of sin, and bound to sin, to free from sin, to a place of life. You said, well, I still have the ability. You still could sin, but our nature is not to sin. Our desire is no longer sin all the time. Our desire is righteousness. The desire on the inside changes. The life came in, and God highly exalted him, but he became obedient, and we too can become obedient. It said he found in the fashion of his man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In other words, he became obedient to the plan of God for his life. Just like you and I can become obedient to God's plan for your life. You said, well, what is God's plan for my life? Well, first of all, it's to know and understand him. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:17 that we're not to be unwise, but to be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. Number one, of course, was to be born again. But once we're born again, God has a purpose. He delivered us from that power of darkness, the authority of it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. But we see that that life moved in, but He didn't just move in to save us, not even really just to save us from sin. Sin had to be dealt with, and it was through the death, the final death of Christ, once and for all, entered into that holy place so that we're no longer bound by it, and we're no longer living in the consciousness of it. You know, our conscience has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. We don't have to be conscious of sin all the time. See, they were constant under the Old Testament. They were just they were under sin. I mean, they got the their sins covered over here, and they're like, "Oh, I'm good for another year," you know. But yet, that still was within them, their sin nature. They could never keep the law. It wasn't going to happen. God knew it wasn't going to happen. That's why we had to have Christ, who fully fulfilled the law, the final sacrifice, the only one that could do it. Why? He was not born in sin. He was born in the light and with the light, the only one alive to God. And then later, of course, He was able to light our candle. He was able to see us. We could say, "Yes, I believe in the Master." And boom, the Holy Spirit, what quickens our heart, changes us from that death to life. The life of God, the nature of God moves in. And so now, why didn't He just take us to heaven? Because He's got a plan. Amen. God says, "I'm not just going to take them out. I'm going to leave them right where they are in a physical body," which sometimes has, you know, He said, He had declared this physical body dead. He said, by faith, we say, "Hey, I'm dead to that, what it desires." And all the desires that come with it. See, the physical body's not doesn't stop. You know, it still wants to do wrong. It thinks certain things are really good for you. You know, it thinks that eating 12 pieces of coconut cream pie would be great. You know? I have a pastor minister friend. That's what he said. His mother's up in her 90s, you know, and they bought her a coconut cream pie for her birthday. He had it in the fridge, and he came back a couple days later. He says, "Oh, I thought I'd have a piece of that coconut cream pie with you." She says, "Oh, what cream pie?" She says, "You didn't eat the whole thing." She says, "Yes, I ate the whole thing." I thought, wow, you know, I think she's 98 now. She's still doing well. Anyway, the flesh thinks it can have whatever it wants. It just desires things of this world. And it wants to pull us that way. But we have a nature on the inside that says no. I now have power to tell you no. I have power from within. That very life gives us that. That nature on the inside is now to please God. Anyway, I beat that one enough, huh? Now, anyway, Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about why did He leave us here? Because He's got a plan. We understand Ephesians 5:17. Let me get there. Yeah, I'm here. Praise the Lord. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You could take the same verse and say the wise person understands what the will of the Lord is. To begin truly discerning the will of the Lord of your life, you must understand there are two kingdoms on earth, and both of them are trying to influence you. Colossians 1:13. Let's go there for a minute. Colossians 1:13. It says, "Who has delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness," or the kingdom, "darkness that has has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." That's what I was saying just a few minutes ago. He's delivered us from a darkness to the light. We've been actually translated. We've been moved over from one kingdom to another. When we're bound in sin and sin is in control of us, you know, we're of the kingdom of darkness. And now we're the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And there are two kingdoms, Satan's kingdom, of course, and ours. John 10:10 says that the thief comes not but for to steal, right, to kill and to destroy. He's got one job, and he's pretty good at it. He's persistent, I'll say that. I shouldn't say he's good at it, but he's persistent. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Why? Because he's after that life that's in you. He doesn't want you living according to that life, because that life produces something. The life of God produces something in you. It produces God's plan and God's purpose. It produces the love of the Father. It produces the kingdom of God. The love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness of our Father. See, that's what you receive. You receive that same nature that was in Jesus. And it's a nature of love. Love does no ill to its neighbor. And see, when the kingdom of darkness says, you know, you can hold that grudge against that neighbor because he's done you wrong, you can say, no, I choose to forgive. And I choose to walk in the love of the Father so that they might find Christ. I'm looking for something higher. I'm walking by a higher law, the law of love. See, the law of love cannot be stopped. It cannot be diminished. Nothing can stop the law of love. And that's what my nature is, see? That same light, that same nature, that same power that was in Christ came on the inside of you and I. And we now have power to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk in the love of the Father and forgive and not hold things against that person, that I might be that testimony, that Jesus might be able to change their life. See, God wants a family. He wants all of us to be born again. And if he had a weakness, you and I are it. He loves mankind. He can't help himself. He's fallen in love with us. All men, not just us. Those that are bound. Those that are murderers. That's what we are for. And we have a certain amount of authority. That's what that word there means, that power. Translate us from the power of darkness. The authority of darkness has no longer has that hold on us. And he's translated us or translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Satan and his powers of darkness are trying to get you to follow his plan for your life. But Satan's plan for your life is destruction, you know, in three parts. And that's what we said. To kill, to steal, and destroy. Everything in Satan's kingdom is designed for that. To kill, to steal, to destroy. But Jesus came that we could have life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. That abundant life. He came for the express purpose of stopping the thief, Satan, from being able to destroy you. He said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. His greatest work was to keep you bound and not to find Jesus. But now that you found Jesus, hallelujah, he's in trouble and he knows it. Now he's going to try to stop you. He still comes. Everybody says, well, he doesn't have the authority. No. No, but a thief doesn't have the authority to come in your house either, does he? If you knew he was coming, you'd be at the door with, you know, to stop him. Can't just come and steal your TV. I mean, that's the beauty of the grace of God. See, even though, you know, we were bound, we're lost in sin, God saved us. Hallelujah. But the difference between grace and mercy is mercy says, okay, you catch him, I caught you, put the TV back, put that back, and he puts it back. He said, okay, I'm going to let you go. But the grace of God says to the same man, come on in. Come into my house. I give you a bed. Eat my food, and I give you an inheritance within my family. And that's our Father. He takes us in, and he feeds us, takes care of us, says, I've got an inheritance for you. I've got many, many things for you. All that heaven is, we can have. As in heaven, he said, pray. As in heaven, so on earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thy kingdom come, your will be done, Father, on earth. Just as it is in heaven. And we could just see heaven. What's in heaven? Is there sickness and disease in heaven? No. We don't have to walk in it. We can walk in health. And we can have health. Doesn't mean we're not attacked sometimes. It doesn't mean you're necessarily even in sin if you got attacked. I won't say that. You know, the enemy comes in illegally. But we have a power that comes from above that's greater than that darkness. And we can come together and we can fight that. And sometimes we come together in prayer in this church. Hallelujah. And we get some things done. Amen. Run him off like a scolded dog. Bless God. And sometimes it takes some help from others, because as we know, hallelujah, he's persistent, but we are too, because we've got the greater one living on the inside. Amen. We've got him in there. All right, let's go to 1 John 3:8, which said what I just said, that the Son of God came for this purpose. 1 John 3:8. It says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come that they could continue, but he's saying, no more. That's it. His power has been broken. All authority I give unto you. You were translated from that darkness to that. When you're wise. When we come to understand that we have been set free from all the works of the devil, accept none of his destruction in your life. Most Christians do accept them because we're unwise sometimes. Sometimes we allow it, you know, we don't fight like we should. But when we recognize, oh, that's him, you know, we don't recognize it or we become unwise. The Bible says we are wiser than that. We're going to be wise. We understand the will of the Lord is for you to be free from everything Jesus paid the price for, including all the threefold course of the law, spiritual death, sickness, poverty. When the kingdom of the Lord is reigning, these things, regarding these things, and resist them. That's the wise thing to do. We resist upon his onset. Amen. These things are not God's will for our life. However, people just accept these things in their life, at least half believing sometimes, maybe this is God's plan. Maybe this is God's will. See, they get the enemy comes in and he deceives. How many know sometimes you can have something in your life for a long time? And the devil is same old's there. See? Because tomorrow we're going to go back to work, some of us, and the devil of same old is going to be there. Oh, it's the same old thing. The same old job. The same old thing. Over and over. And when that's what you see, we've got to then change what we're seeing in our mind. Amen? And how do we do that? With the Word of God. We take His Word and we resist the enemy. No, I'm not going to accept that. Not this time. Not the last time. Not ever. Yeah, but sometimes we deal with some things for a while. And that's when the enemy comes in. We think, well, maybe, you know, I'll just have to deal with it. I've had a couple of those things in my life, unfortunately. Now, but I overcame, finally. Amen. And sometimes we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We get the Word of God out and we say, no, surely He's borne my sickness, carried my pain, and by His stripes I'm healed. Because what happens, I notice more than anything, is we start fighting. And we resist him, and then we quit for a little bit, and he comes back at a more opportune time. See, that's how what he said about Jesus. Remember when he's in the wilderness? The devil left him for a while. Didn't mean he never tempted him again, but he left him for a while. See, our temptations are doubt and unbelief, and to, you know, say, well, I guess God didn't really pay the price for me. But when we realize he's faithful, we begin to worship the God of all heaven. Amen. We're going to say, Father, I thank you that your word is true, that it doesn't lie, that you're not a God that you could lie, that you're the Father who desires to give to me, that you're a giver and not a withholder. Amen. Hallelujah. And that not only that, he will give when I ask him. He gives upon approach. You know, we see that, you know, in the book of Daniel, when Daniel asked, the angel came, he said, I heard you the first day, but there was something that was important. Daniel had to stay right there. Yes, Lord. I know it's coming. I know he's faithful. You know, but the angel, the darkness, the war in the heavenlies had held it back. But he said, I heard you the first day. Here's your answer. Glory to God. And God's already got our answer. He said he hears us even before we ask now. And there are many times when when we're in God's plan and his purpose, things begin to just happen. So, well, why did it just happen? Because we found his purpose. We found his plan for our life. And as we walk in it, God continues to move. You know, it doesn't mean everything's going to be a bed of roses. You know, everybody says, well, how come it's not just easy? Well, it is easy. It's just, it's simple, but it's not easy. You know, it's not a hard thing to understand, but we have to take, because we have the responsibility to take the authority. We have a responsibility with God. And if we don't take the authority, we're not going to get it. Because the enemy is a liar. And see, he don't care. I say don't. He doesn't care. Sorry. He does not care about what we think. He comes illegally. But you understood me, right? Okay. Hallelujah. However, we can do that, Yet, when it comes to submitting to the actual will of God for our lives, sometimes we spend time, we need to take some time to find out what that really is. You see, we get to assuming things sometimes. We say, well, I know the will of God for my life, and you may. You have a certain amount, We have the overall will of God, which we know. We're going to walk in love. We're going to, care for people. We're not going to, become thieves, right, or anything like that. We don't do that. We don't steal anymore. We work with our hands that we may have to give. We're faithful to him. And we begin to seek him. But see, if we don't spend enough time with him, we're not going to really know the plan of God for our life. And primarily spending time in prayer, seeking him, asking the Holy Spirit to show us and to help us and to pray through us the perfect plan of God for our life and to begin to walk in that plan. You see, sometimes man wants to make a plan. James said that, he said, go now in James 4. He talked about that. What's your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a while, and then vanishes away. We ought to say, if the Lord wills, we're going to go here and do this or that. Not just rejoicing. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go make $1 million. And you might. You might. It's okay. It's okay. God wouldn't even be mad at you. But was it his plan? See, we run off and we claim, I'm going to do this for a year. I'm going to do that for so long. And it'll take care of this problem. See, we want to try to figure it out and fix it ourselves. And he wants us to trust him. And sometimes, at least in my life, maybe I did do something. Maybe I made the debt, or maybe I made a problem. Sometimes we have to walk through that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe somebody else caused it, or you got your thinking wrong, You didn't realize that, but the Holy Spirit began to show you. God began to show you, hey, I'm not thinking right about that. I've got stinking thinking, and it needs to change, and it doesn't always change overnight. Why? Because it's a stronghold that was built on the inside of you. When mom or daddy or somebody in your life says, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never be any good, those words have a certain amount of power. See, they get registered, and sometimes when we come over into the kingdom of God, see, we've just got tattoos up here in the brain. They come along and they play music to us. They lie to us. That's why he said we must be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That mind has to come up with something other than the flesh in order to govern the life that we have. But see, sometimes we get carried away and we're saying, oh, I know the will of God. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to start this business. It's going to go great. It'll just be a year or so. I'll be right back. I'm going to go make some money. But financial gain is not sufficient evidence to determine the will of God for our life. People have the process exactly backwards. They are iron-willed when it comes to keeping control of the direction of their own lives. Yet they don't become, but yet we don't sometimes become, we need to become iron-willed to resist the works of the devil when he comes knocking on our door with sin, sickness, poverty. The most important thing in our life is to find out what the plan of God or the mind of God for our individual life is. You're never going to find that out without spending time with the Holy Spirit. And we understand that. You know, we understand this. Whenever God leads, God provides. You can rest assured that the Lord will supply all of your need as you endeavor to accomplish His plan for your individual life. Satan, of course, will resist you, but we cannot be defeated. He can't defeat you. Amen. The only way he can defeat you is if you quit. He said, well, I might miss something. I might make... Well, God will find you. You know, he'll find you. But we're trying to find... Well, he already has that plan on the inside of us. But see, when something's in here, we got to get it out here. The only way we're going to get it out here into this world is we're going to pray it out. Because God created the world with one thing. And that's words. He said, light be and light was. When he commanded, it was. That's it. Fowls of the air, birds of the sea, right on down to man, then it says he formed him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because we're important. He loves us. He said, I want a family. Hallelujah. But there's a plan. But we want to get that plan out here is what I'm talking about. And he said, when we give our tongue over to God, over to the Holy Spirit, and let him pray it out. Begin to speak the mysteries, the Bible says, praying in other tongues. You know, you may not pray in other tongues, but you can. You can start today. If you do pray in tongues, you should use that to continue to pray out the plan of God for your life. Continue to seek him. Continue to listen. Continue to hear the word of God. See, when we do these things, the purpose of God begins to become very clear. And when you find the purpose of God, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. His joy, his peace, his goodness moves in because he's got a purpose for you. And we need you to find your purpose in the body of Christ so that we're complete. Amen. You know, we're not going to be complete if you're that little toe. We're going to be losing our balance all the time. You know, your little toe keeps your balance. It really does. I mean, if that's all you were in the body of Christ, it's very important. Yeah. You know, we'd be just like, you know, what's wrong with him? You know? We've got a problem. Our little toe won't stay in place. He keeps trying to be something else. He wants to get out of that sock. Bless God. Not only that, he says, I bear the weight of this ministry, and you can stand to lose a few. But anyway, hallelujah. Those are jokes, you know. Sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. Just, you know. You can just laugh anyway, and I'll think they were great. You know. Make me feel good. You know. But anyway, praise the Lord. But that's the important thing. We find that purpose and that plan. And that's how we go about it. We know that here. But I'm just sharing this today because I want to say again, afresh and new, that we have a nature. We've got a life of God in us. We're not just out lost in this world. See, a lot of people, they're just wandering around. You know, but if we're going to go by our own noggin and our own decisions all the time, just what we decide to do, you know, we're not going to have the fullness of what God desires. It's absolutely crucial that we understand that Jesus Christ, the Lord, the head of the church, has an exact plan for every single member's life. We can see that here in John chapter 21. He had a plan for Peter's life. John 21, 18 and 19 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked where you would. But when you shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. It's John 21, 18 and 19. And that's where he's talking to Peter. And Peter learned a wealth of information from this time with the Lord. He learned that he would die, not die young. He learned that he would die a martyr's death. He learned that he would die before the second coming of the Lord. Now, do you understand why Peter could be sleeping so soundly the night before he was supposed to be put to death? He was still young. He knew he would not die at that age because the Lord had already told him that he would live to be an old man. Apparently, however, when Peter found out he would not die the martyr's death, he wasn't just crazy about the idea. He didn't just be real happy. He says, what about this guy? What about John, Lord? What about somebody else? See, we get our orders. We say, well, okay, Lord, but what about them? What about, you know? Basically, Jesus said, mind your own business. You know, he said, what is that to you? And Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, John 21, 20 and 22, goes on and it says, then Peter, turning about, sees the disciple who Jesus loved, following, which so learned, leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that will betray thee? Peter, seeing him, says, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He's saying, follow me. Don't worry about what everybody else is after. Don't worry about their life. And sometimes I think we get so concerned. I wonder if I can help them. You know, I mean, we can help each other. We need to. But when we find that plan in our place, continue to follow him. Amen. Mm-hmm. He said, well, what about John? I don't want to have to die a martyr's death, Lord. But I will. I will. He was just giving him that understanding. And Peter knew. He went to the prison. Oh, Lord said, I'm going to be an old man when I die. Praise the Lord. He came out. Amen. And we know what happened. They were praying constantly, right? Mm-hmm. And Peter came out. Now, they all were martyred other than John, you know, and the disciples. But that was the plan of God. Romans 8, 14. Let's go there. And then I'm going to go to John one more time. Let's go to Romans 8, 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Or in this particular case, he's talking about sons, mature sons. In other words, we were talking earlier, and I think Wednesday, I mentioned in Matthew 18, where Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, we become like a little child. Yes, in our heart, in our attitude, in our ability to be taught. But he also, we have to walk as mature sons of God. And they that are led by that Spirit of God are the sons of God. And when we're born again, we have a spirit, a nature that comes within. One that's like unto Jesus that can be trusted. And we can listen and we can follow that spirit. Many times, you know, we get that on the inside. I got that hunch. I should do something. Amen. Call so-and-so now. We should be obedient. Sometimes we're not. He said, well, why didn't you do it? Same reason you didn't. No, you don't know, but we can be more aware. And we have that, and it can be trusted. It's a conscience that's alive to God now. Before it was under death, under darkness, but now it's in the light. And in the light, we can trust that. And we can trust those things that God brings up on the inside of us. And we can follow that. Oh, I just have this, you know, that overwhelming desire that can come. Say, yes, that seems good to my heart. And to God's heart, when we spend that time in prayer and we continue to pray it out, we continue to speak it out, we continue to seek after Him. Now, we've got the general will of God right here in the Bible, but we're talking about God's personal will. If we're going to get that, we're going to have to speak it out. We're going to have to pray that out. So, we know that we've been redeemed. We have to know, number one, what we've been redeemed from. We talked about that today. Poverty, sickness, spiritual death. The things that God has provided. He said, all things that pertain to life and godliness are ours. Hallelujah. And secondly, we spend time with the Holy Spirit, praying in those other tongues, praying out the perfect will of God. And He will show us exactly what the plan of God is for our life. And we're not going to get off. We're not going to move off. We're going to be a house of prayer. He's showing us that here. Number one, we're working on, amen, being the house of prayer. Being that place where God can be trusted and we can call out to Him and we can see things happen. And we can pray and intercede. Hallelujah. So from the Word of God, we find out everything that Jesus paid for that we're free from. Amen. Number one, sin. That's an important one. Sometimes we don't talk about it very much. But if you read Romans 6, he says, how can we which are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are slaves to whom we choose to obey. See, we have a choice. We're now free to choose. We're truly free. See, the world sometimes, they say, well, I'm free. You get out of prison, I'm free. No, you're not free yet. See, you still got a prison up here in the mind. When the enemy is able to tell you lies other than what the Word of God says about you and who you are. There is therefore now no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk after the flesh, but walk after the reborn human spirit on the inside of me. I walk after that life that was given to me. I walk after that. And there's life and there's peace. And that law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. And it can quicken my body, free from sickness, free from having to be bound by poverty, free from having to be bound by the work of the enemy. There's nothing He can do that we cannot stop with the power of the living God. The Word and the Spirit agree. When we put that into action, there's nothing we can't do. And we'll find and we'll walk in the purpose of God. Because we started out, you know, talking about that life, but bringing it into God's plan and God's purpose for each of us. And letting that life rule. Hallelujah. And us being able not just to rule in our own lives, but also then to be able to pray and to seek God and have life for others. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You, Father, that we are Yours and that You, Lord, want us to be wise, knowing the will of the Lord for our lives and the plan of God and how we can spend time with You, Father, praying and seeking and knowing and finding within Your Word and within Your purpose for our lives, Father. You have a plan for each and every one of us. And we can find that plan and we can walk in the plan and we can purpose, on purpose, Lord, walk into all that You've called us unto. That, Lord, we'll not just see the plan of God for our lives, but it will affect the lives of others around us and they'll become, where we can become greater lights and greater witnesses for You in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank You, Father. We give You praise. We give You glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.